Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Has he always been like that consistent guy that he comes in no matter what, win or lose, and he's the same?
No. Because Zim, when we lose, he is pissed off. And, like, he's mad when we win, but, like, he's really mad when we lose. So he's definitely not consistent with that. Like, he's gonna bring it. When we lose, like, that's why losing sucks in this league, because you know you're going to get it on that Monday after you lose.
Adam Thielen on the Pat McAfee show there. And that's, remind me, the linebacker guy there. A.J. Hawk. You're playing Ohio State, right?
Yeah. Former Packer.
Iowa. Greenway was Iowa.
Yep.
Hawk was Ohio State.
Same draft, right?
Same draft.
Yeah. I believe they're in the same draft. That's why.
So, yeah. This is State of the Vikings Offense Thursday, where we do deep dives into the current state of things. And later on in the show, I'll give you guys four key offensive stats that I think are fascinating. Maybe you guys will, too. But this is Daily Vikings Entertainment. It's Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company, and we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. Phil Mackey, Judd Zulgad, our executive producer, Declan Goff, and thanks to those of you who are watching us on the YouTube channel on a TCL TV. They're delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. All right, let's play this Mike Zimmer clip that... We also had played this on Mackey and Judd, and then we got done with the show. We literally called an audible for what we were going to do on the state of the offense. Like, we were going to do something totally different, and then Declan had this clip for us.
Kill.
In fact, you might say that we deviated from our scripted plays, and we were improvisational. And we said, this is such an interesting clip. We have to lead Purple Daily with this, okay?
I gave the coaches a lot of projects to do this week. On Monday, and you know, I think probably being a little bit more specific coming out of halftime instead of saying, hey, these are the plays that we're thinking about running, and you know, be, all right, here's what we're going to run. This first play, here's the second play, here's the third play, and we go from there.
Is it almost like a self-scout that you might do during a bye week?
Yeah, we just did a little bit early. I just felt like, you know, it was important to figure out what's going on here.
Okay, so he is essentially saying, we need to script the first X amount of plays coming out of the gate in the second half, which is what offenses do largely in the first half. You got the whole week to prepare. You kind of know what the defense is going to throw at you, and you can sort of plan accordingly. And he's saying, all right, we need to go back to the drawing board here. Let's not do the self-scout. Let's not wait till the bye to do the self-scout. Let's do it now going into the Carolina game. What did you make of that comment? Not about the self-scouting. Like, I think that's a pretty common thing to do for all teams. But what did you make of Mike Zimmer essentially saying we need to script the second half plays like we would the first half?
Boy, I took away from that, and I did some checking. And by the way, that's not the norm. Like, I'm sure it's been done before, okay? So I'm not saying this would be the first time in the history of the pigskin that a series of plays in the second half has been scripted. But it's highly unusual to have a sheet to start the second half, because your play caller has to go by game flow. Like you, the reason why you can dictate and script the first 15 plays is you could sit there on Wednesday and dictate that. And then you get to see what the defense gives you, and it gives you ideas for the next 15 plays, right? I mean, it's all about the flow. I mean, this is not youth football with children playing. These are professionals. And so you get into the flow of the game, and you do it by flow and gut feel. And my problem with what he said there is I feel that it's very much, again, in the regimented way of Zim, especially offensively, that we're going to find a way to get this right. And instead of it being like, what's the best way? He thinks to himself, well, our first 15 plays are working, right? Because they are working. They look good. Why not the first 15 plays of the second half? So I just think, you know, my frustration with Mike going back now to 2014 is offensively, there's just too much intolerance for that side of the ball, where there should be curiosity, where there should be, I'm the head coach, let's get this fixed. I also don't like the way that he put it of, you know, I had the offensive coaches do, dude, you're the head coach. Like, you're in on this, right? Not I had, I'm delegating. So yeah, I just, it strikes me as another just start of the, in the DeFilippo way, right? That was, we got to run more. This is, I'm frustrated with this, so we're going to script more. I see it being the same type of trend, and I don't like it.
So I'm in partial agreement with you based on like how that clip sort of landed with me. I'm not going to rip Mike at all for trying to find solutions. I do find it funny, though, that whenever he talks about defense, it's we. And whenever he talks about offense, it's more of a they thing, right? It's like, actually, can you actually play that clip one more time, Declan? I want to, maybe I'm hearing it wrong, but did he sort of refer to the offensive staff as they? I want to hear this one more time.
I gave the coaches a lot of projects to do this week on Monday. And you know, I think probably being a little bit more specific coming out of halftime instead of saying, hey, these are the plays that we're thinking about running and you know, be, all right, here's what we're going to run. This first play, here's the second play, here's the third play, and we go from there.
Is almost like a self-scout that you might do during a bye week?
Yeah, we just did a little bit early. I just felt like, you know, it was important to figure out what's going on here.
All right, so he didn't say they, but it always feels like there's a disconnect, so I was wrong on that. But here's my main takeaway. The biggest problem with this offense is not whether they're, like, scouting in the right way throughout the week. And this offense, from a play calling and even from a quarterback standpoint, lacks improv skills. Everything's got to be perfectly crafted, scripted. Offensive line's got to provide protection, right? If everything is perfect, if you've called the right scripted plays to start the game and you've planned that for 3 days, and if Kirk gets protection, this offense hums. But if the defense makes an adjustment and they start getting some pressure and then the scripted plays are over and the play calling has to go more to feel, everything breaks down. And the numbers would bear that out. The Vikings are one of the worst second half teams offensively in the NFL, and we'll get to more of those numbers later in the show. But that's not, like, the Vikings are on this quest to try and sculpt and craft and script everything to their liking offensively. Well, now we're going to script the plays in the second half. And if we can just get perfect protection, and it's like, watch the best teams in the NFL, the Josh Allen Buffalo Bills. You know, the Chiefs are off to a tough start, but the Chiefs the last 2.5 years. It's not perfect scripted plays and protection. Like, it's sandlot football a lot of times, right? It's Josh Allen on the run to his right, hair on fire, throwing a ball 40 yards down the field. It's, you know, it's Lamar Jackson with 8 guys dropping back into coverage, having to sort of sidearm throw. You know, it's not going to be perfect. So they can try and script the second half plays all they want to. And they can try and, you know, they can, you know, they should be trying to protect Kirk Cousins because that's where he's the best. But I just worry that this team, from a play calling standpoint and from just really in everything that has to do with the passing game standpoint, that they're just not good enough when things aren't perfectly curated and scripted. You have to be great off script in the NFL if you want to do some damage in the playoffs. And, like, that's a big reason why this team doesn't.
But that's inexcusable. Like, back in the day when you had Ponder throwing to Aroma Shadu and Michael Jenkins, and AP was great. But, I mean, then I get it. Okay, there's some problems here. Like, the passing game, it's hard because these guys all sort of stink, or they're washed up in Jenkins' case. We're talking about a team with arguably some of the best skill position players in the league. In the league, Justin Jefferson. Like, do we really think, and this is what I'd love to delve down and know, and we're not going to find out. Do you guys really think that Clint Kubiak said to himself, Justin Jefferson at halftime, 5 catches, 104 yards. Yeah, but he's covered too much. And by the way, if I can't get it to Jefferson, I've got Thielen, NKJ, Osborne, who's also very good. Do you really think that he said consciously during halftime and then into the third quarter, I'm going to go away from that because they just don't give us that. This is where I would love to know who's in charge here. I would love to know who is making the call, because just quickly, you guys, I'm going to give you the first possession of the third quarter for the Vikings offense in all five games. And I'm not going to give you points because there's only three. I'm going to give you plays, okay? Plays. First quarter. So these are the plays now that were that are going to be scripted, and it's going to fix everything, right? Seven plays to open the third quarter against the Bengals. Cardinals game, four plays. Seattle game, 16 plays and a field goal. 16 plays and a field goal. And the last two games, including one against the Detroit Bleeping Lions, three plays apiece. Those are your opening drives.
I'll take the 16.
Well, yeah, you will take the 16. You'd like a touchdown off the 16. But the point being is, I just want to know who's in charge here and who's doing what here. And on the subject of Kubiak, I would also like to talk about the fact that you put a 34-year-old who has no, I don't think he's called plays in his life before. I don't think he called plays in grade school recess football. And it's not his fault. He just hasn't. He's calling plays. Like, what are we doing here with a team that was expected to pop and be good? And to my point is, and this is a credit to Rick Spielman, has the personnel pieces in place to be dynamic? We've seen it on the opening drive of the game.
Yeah, well, again, I'm all for a self-scout. I'm all for self-evaluation. I'm even all for temporarily, if you need to just quickly in the 12 minutes of halftime, script 5 or 10 plays. Hey, this is what's working. I'm all for that. I just don't know if it solves the overarching problem that the Vikings, when they aren't scripted and when things aren't perfectly protected, they can't move the ball. That's sort of been the reality of this offense. You know, they can't move the ball through the air. And they haven't been as good in late game situations the last few years when things start to break down and the defense starts to get pressure. Like, people just think automatically, oh, well, they're double covering Justin Jefferson and yeah, the defense is getting pressure. Therefore, you're not supposed to be able to do anything. Do you think the Baltimore Ravens went into that game the other night at home against a pretty bad Colts team and said, all right, by the way, a Baltimore team that I think had run for 100 yards in an NFL record number of games, or was it like 45 straight games or something, yeah, 100 yards rushing. Do you think they went into that game and said, all right, we're going to throw the ball 45 times for 400 some yards? No, the game flow dictated that, oh, we need to make an adjustment here and do something that's a little bit different. So let's, like, they didn't script that, right?
No, of course not.
And, of course, Lamar Jackson is one of the more mobile quarterbacks in the history of football, so it's just different. Like, Kirk's not going to move like that. I get it. But they're just like, Baltimore said, we're going to go from the Joe Flacco offense to the Lamar Jackson offense. And even then, within the Lamar Jackson offense, we're going to make tweaks and be more pass-heavy when we need to run heavy. It's like, with this offensive staff and Kirk, it's just one gear. If you don't get protection and a play action game and scripted plays, you don't score points. And it's unfortunate.
And the ridiculous thing about that, again, is the people around Kirk. The people around Kirk are very capable. The people around Kirk are damn good. That's the frustrating thing is, if you can't produce second half points against the Detroit Lions with the skill position players that the Vikings have, you're lost. All hope is lost. Like, that's inexcusable. That's not a, well, that defense was pretty stout. That defense is, they were banged up and they stink to begin with, probably. And you don't score points and you look as feeble as they do. So where I'm going to also call BS on Mike is this too. So Mike is like, we got to go back to the drawing board. We're doing a self-scout, which I do, Phil, I'm with you, in theory, is good. My concern with Mike is I've seen this play before from Mike. And it's often a blame game play. We're not running enough. It starts with that, right? We got to run better. And then it's, we got to run more. Where I'm going to call BS on this entire thing and where I'd like to poke some holes is the clip that we played, which caused Phil to almost pass out on Monday, where Mike essentially took responsibility as far as saying at the end of the first half, with a ball on R19, I called for a run play. It didn't work. And after that, it was hopeless.
Yeah.
When you actually, if I'm not mistaken, had more time on the clock when that drive began than you did for the drive that you got the field goal to win the game. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not going to go after when Mike gets to a podium and is like, says, I shouldn't have to explain this, but I will. Here's what I was doing. I'm not going to say this is all a Clint problem. Like that, Mike told on himself a bit there. Mm-hmm. So I come back to that. How much of this is Mike trying to get Clint to do what he wants? And you know what, Phil? Clint's 34. Is Clint going to go into Mike's office on Monday and be like, Mike, this is BS. No, of course he's not. Gary might. A veteran coach might. Clint has no authority to do that. So I think this is much more in the weeds than we think when it's like, I'm just having Clint and his staff do a self-scout. Yeah.
Mike wants to know, why isn't this horse running faster? And yet he's like yanking on the reins, like pulling the horse back.
He's got the governor on it.
So yeah. We need to score more points. But we also need to run the ball into the middle of the field and run the clock out with 40 seconds left and two timeouts. Like, dude, you can't have it both ways. So, all right.
Football.
I've got four what I think are very interesting, telling, paint-a-picture offensive stats about the Vikings so far through five games. We'll get to random Viking of the week as well. But, Judd, I mean, you're pretty much scripting a weight loss plan right now with your friends at Livia. So maybe you're being a little bit of a hypocrite when it comes to your disdain for scripting things. I don't know.
No, I am scripting a weight loss plan with my friends at the Livia Weight Control Centers, Phil Mackey, because I know my limitations. I know what I can do well and what I can't do well. You know what I am, you guys? A systems weight loser.
Okay.
So I'm not like Cousins. I can't just unleash. I'm Dilfer, man.
You can't just freelance and go get a salad.
You know what happens when Judd is told, here is a fridge full of food. You do what you think is best. Judd gets fat. And when Judd consults his friends and says, what should I do? And they give him a game plan. And yeah, he checks down sometimes. But guess what? It also works. I am, as Phil just said, taking off those pandemic pounds, down 9 pounds in week one, back in today. I'm hoping I'm down five more or so. I feel good. I think my face, if you're checking us out right now on your
TV. Yeah, you're down a chin there. Yeah.
I think I'm down a chin. The beard could come off pretty soon. I'm not kidding you. But yeah, I feel better. I feel good. And here is the best part. If you join now, you get your first 10 weeks for free. A limited time offer. All you have to do, go to Livia.com. That is Livia.com. Or you can call 855-GO-LIVEA. Become like me. Become a systems weight loser. Get those pandemic pounds off, because the pandemic was the end of my being in decent shape. And now I'm feeling better. Thanks to the folks at Livia.
Love it. Also, a shout out to our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Just make sure that you've got systems in place for risk management, whether it's fire prevention plans or whether it's pandemic plans, because we're still sitting here 18 months into this thing and businesses are still affected. Find out about all the resources you can get your hands on as a business owner at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
Football.
All right. Four key, interesting, compelling, storytelling offensive stats here. All right. Fourth quarter. So second half scoring, how bad is it? Here's the first one. The Vikings are 28th in second half scoring. They're averaging 8 points per second half. Dallas, by the way, averages 18 points per second half. So.
Wow. So that's the offensive points then.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good question.
Or is that the defensive points as well?
It might. I think it's just offense.
Okay. Yeah.
But it might include the pick six. I'd have to go see.
Oh no! Actually, it does. I found it. It does.
Okay. So that makes it even worse.
Offensively, 35 offensive points in the second half of the five games so far.
So 7 points.
Seven. So their offense is providing you with 7 points. Thank you very much, Greg Joseph.
It's even worse at home. It's 5 points per second half at home, last in the NFL. They are the worst second half scoring team at home in the NFL. So we've already gone over that one ad nauseum. So I'll get to the second one here. Key offensive stat number two. Mm-hmm. Conservative offense. I wanted to dive in. Like, how conservative is the offense? Is it just a bunch of us drinking beer and saying, hey, need to throw the ball down, throw the ball deep. Throw the ball deep.
That's what I do.
Alex Boone's like, it's kind of an amateur take just to say throw the ball deep. But like, yeah, they probably do need to throw the ball deep. So here's the numbers. All right.
Yep.
I've got like a few numbers all within this bin of conservative offense. So if you just stop on the surface, the Vikings are eighth in the league in pass attempts. So you'd look at – I think they were like fifth on the bottom last year. So you'd look at that and say, well, what do you mean? They're throwing the ball. That's the eighth most pass attempts.
Yep.
You guys, this is a faulty narrative, right?
Right.
Let's dig a little deeper. Intended air yards per pass attempt, all right? And I explained this on Mackie and Judd. I'll explain it again. So when you throw a ball, you know, let's say your targeted receiver is 10 yards down the field and the ball sails 18 yards over his head or something. Like, what they're saying is you try to throw it 10 yards in the air to Adam Thielen.
Right.
So intended air yards per attempt. The Vikings rank 30th in the NFL this season.
Thank you.
Only 6.6 yards per air attempt. The Ravens lead the NFL at 10.5. So, again, is it scheme? Is it Kirk Cousins not wanting to throw the ball down the field? I know some people are going to shout, it's protection. He doesn't have time to throw it 10 yards down the field. Well, it's not. Sometimes that's true, but the Vikings have actually been formidable in pass protection this year. They're like 21st in pass protection this year in terms of at least holding up for 2.5 seconds.
3 of 5 games, right, Phil? Because I think the pass protection was weak against the Bengals, and it was definitely suspect against the Browns.
But yep,
I think
it was
in
fine
the other three
the
games, it's fair to say that that's not been the problem.
Yep. So they're not throwing the ball in the air. They're 30th in throwing the ball in the air. So depth of target, basically. All right. The Vikings are 24th in average yards after catch per completion. So they're averaging only 4.5 yards after the catch per completion. The Browns lead the NFL at 7, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so again, I look at that and I'm like, okay, is that scheme? Are the route designs not designed to get a guy on the run coming across the field, Justin Jefferson, right? Or is it Adam Thielen is washed up and isn't getting separation? Like, there's any number of things that play into this, but it's very interesting that they're just not getting many yards after the catch. And then I'll give you this one. This is all within conservative offense, right? On second and long, the Vikings are one of the three most run-heavy teams in the NFL, which puts them in third and long a lot. When it's second and long, eight and more, and you run the ball, unless you're running for large chunks, which, you know, sometimes they do, you're going to be in third and long a lot as well. So, but the depth of target thing is interesting. Well, they throw the ball a lot, conservatively.
Yeah, that's so there's two stats that as service stats mislead you. One is Cousins attempts and completions because that makes it seem like, well, they're doing plenty of passing. And the other is Justin Jefferson, who's like sixth in the league in receptions, which is great. And you're like, oh, Justin Jefferson's catching plenty of balls. Judd, what are you talking about? But yeah, when you peel apart the stats and actually start to explore them, it's mm-hmm. intriguing. And I think the thing is, again, this comes down. This starts with one thing, the eye test. What are we seeing? What are we seeing? Because that Detroit game was a great eye test game.
Yep.
Because it was one half of, oh, my God, this is really good. This is impressive. Justin Jefferson, great game. And then it just went away. Yep. So if you just pull up the stats and you're like, well, look at these stats. On the surface, yes, they look fine. But what they don't tell is they don't tell the story of what's really going on in the Vikings' home. We don't know. As a family, when they go out, they go to church all dressed up. They seem happy. It's like the Vikings family's doing great. Look at how great they are.
When
they
dad's get home, cheating on mom.
And dad gets the wine out. Oh, when dad gets the wine out, kids better go close the door and nobody better make a racket. Nobody better make a racket or else there's going to be problems. And mom's like, what's going on? The family is falling apart. That's the Viking story.
Oh, man. Judd just painted a picture of like a stressed out 1950s American yes. family there or something. Right?
Yes.
All right. Failed. So this is the third one of the four key offensive stats. Let's talk about failed completions. Well, does it make sense? If it's a completion, how can it be failed? You're completing a pass, right? So Football Outsiders tracks how meaningful each team's pass completions are. A lot of people just stop at, look at the completion percentage, or look how many passes they're completing, right? Football Outsiders goes deeper and says, all right, let's weed out the meaningful completions from the ones that are hollow. So their formula is, on first down, a play is considered a success if it gains 45% of the needed yard. They're looking for you to advance the ball forward to set yourself up for the next down, right? So, and by the way, that's the same if it's 10 yards to go or if it's 20 yards to go. If it's 20 yards to go, For it to be a successful play, you got to get 45% back to set yourself up on second down. You got to be more aggressive when it's longer yardage, right? So 45% of needed yards on first down, 60% of needed yards on second down, and then on third or fourth down, you need to get a first down for it to be a successful play.
Okay.
And again, the people are going to shout out, well, what about third and 20? Like, what are you supposed to do? Well, yeah, but it's the same for everybody. It's not like the Vikings are being judged on one set of criteria and everyone else is being judged on another. So who are the early leaders in failed completions so far this season? So receptions that stop short of a successful play. And you know what? I'm not even going to name quarterbacks. I'm going to give you teams because I think this could be a quarterback thing. It might be a scheme thing.
Yeah.
Why are you calling a screen pass on third down and 18? Like, doesn't make any sense, right?
Yes.
The Giants are number one with 45 failed completions. The Falcons are number two with 42 failed completions. The Vikings are number three with 40 failed completions. That's 40 completed passes. Yeah, they're really conservative, and they aren't helping you. When you throw a bubble screen on third and 16, like...
Yeah. Yeah, that's a team problem. Yeah, that's a team problem.
But then again, if you're Kirk and you're throwing a check down on, you know, a second and 14 or something, you know, I don't know exactly who's to blame.
Right.
It feels like a systematic, probably some quarterback, maybe some protection. But
right.
It's very telling that a lot of the Vikings' passing numbers are very hollow through the first five games.
Again, with your arsenal, that should not happen. Like, I think that's the fairest thing to say. I don't know if it's Kubiak, Zimmer, Cousins, a combination, probably. But with that arsenal, that's awful.
When you put the quarterback names in here, here's the list, and I'll extend it out even further. It's kind of an incriminating list. Like, Matt Ryan's not incriminating, but he's old, and the Falcons, they don't have as many weapons.
He's gotten a little bit incriminating. Yeah.
Daniel Jones, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff.
Ugh.
Yeah,
those are the seven leaders on this list.
Interesting.
A lot of guys that you would look at and say, ugh. I don't know.
On that list, I will say this. With the way he's playing, Kirk is the guy who doesn't belong.
Yeah.
You would think.
Right, but I'm saying, like, if you said, who's the biggest surprise of the names that you just ran through in 2021? Kirk is.
Yeah, and so just a quick take on that. I think Kirk is playing better in these first five games, certainly than he did in the first five games last year. The interceptions are way down. He's been mostly really good late when they need him. Like, dude, we need a field goal to win this game. Please save us. You know, he did it against the Cardinals. They missed it. Did it against the Lions. But I also think this is a great illustration of why his numbers tend to be hollow sometimes, right? That he's completing a pass for you, and his completion percentage goes up, and his yardage goes up, but it didn't move the chains, or it didn't get you far enough to, you know, set yourself up on third down or something.
But if you're going to do a self-scout, which Zim claims that they did this week, don't you have to then include Kirk and say, Kirk, we know that you can do more here?
Yeah,
there has to be encouragement of, like, Big Ben. It's just sort of over. Like, it's like, Ben, if you can complete a pass,
he looked pretty good this last weekend.
But I'm just saying, I think it's sort of done there. Carson Wentz, I've lost faith in completely. Yeah. I don't see it
for 400 yards. For 400 yards. What more do you want from him?
Yeah. Okay. Talk about hollow again. I saw enough.
Cooked as a $2 steak.
But with Kirk, like, yeah.
Okay,
but like,
JR.
Yeah.
Where's the empowerment? Where's the Kirk? You've got 18. You've got 19. You've got Osborne. You've got a lot of weapons here, man.
Yeah.
Like, let's go on these plays. Hollow completions in a game that's still close aren't really all that acceptable, in my opinion, for this team.
And the fourth of four key stats here, offensive stats, state of the Vikings offense Thursdays. Third and long. Let's talk about third and long here. The Vikings offense has been in third and long, and I'm defining that as seven or more. So third and long, third and seven or more. More than all but two teams. So they've already seen 39 third and long situations this year. So they've been in third and long more than almost any other team in the NFL. What's kind of amazing is they're successful on 36% of their third and longs. And that is a credit to Kirk and the offensive line. Because on third and long, they know you're going to pass. You don't get the benefit of play action when it's third and 9 or third and 12, right? Like, you got to throw a pass, and they're probably going to pressure you. So the fact that they're successful on 36% of third and longs, there's a lot of teams. Aren't there going to be teams that aren't successful on 36% of third downs, period, this year?
Sure.
So they've done a pretty good job, but, like, that is so many third and longs. They need to stop putting themselves in third and long, and part of it is the conservative nature of their first and second down.
But what does that tell you? That tells you in second and long,
they're running.
It's not working.
You can throw the ball, but go back.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
Go back.
I'm just a guy on his couch with, like, some websites that I can find numbers on, and I can tell you that some of their philosophies are broken.
Go back and watch the third and longs, the completions, too. They're really nice plays, and they're caught by guys who are really good. And Kirk can make those throws. So, like, what? So the self scout should ask one question: why are you running? Which is, I don't think, a Kirk thing. Why are you running on second and long if you can be successful with a pass where everybody knows it's coming? Yeah. At least on second down, teams for at least three more weeks are going to say the Vikings are going to run here, right? Like, this is reason on second down, second short, or second long to open up the playbook. Yeah. So I actually think a lot of this goes far more into the coaching room here, and includes Zimmer, too. I am not going to say, oh, it's not on Mike, it's on Clint Kubiak. I think this goes far more into what the coaches need to do, not as far as scripting the second half. Adjust your mindset, guys. Adjust your minds. Open it up. So I'll take a deep breath. Pass more often.
You know, it could help, actually. I mean, maybe take a load off and crack a Surly.
Oh, yeah,
get some more creative juices flowing.
Are you talking about my favorite beer can on the face of the earth?
The Surly Farious Beer Can
IPA. If it wasn't 11:50 when we're recording this, I'd be drinking one right now, because this is the IPA that revolutionized.
If you were at an airport right now, you could have started drinking 5 hours ago.
Yeah, it's my plan next week.
Oh, and it's been done before. But I'm going to tell you right now. So it's Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As we record this, well, you got Thursday night football tonight. You got the Vikings on Sunday. Heck, you got the Gophers on Saturday. The only combination that's going to be good with that on your couch or at the stadium, a Surly Furious IPA. It is my favorite beer. It should be yours, and I do appreciate all of you who send me your pictures on Twitter. Jay Zolgad, I got one last night of your can of Surly Furious. As Phil Mackey says, Phil?
Show us your cans. Show us your cans. Hey.
Right now.
All right, it's time for the random Viking of the week here.
Declan.
One of our favorite featured segments every single week. So Declan, he's back on the board. Judd leads 8-2 on the season here in random Viking of the week, but Declan's got some momentum going.
He won Richardson last. Let's not. Yep.
A couple weeks ago, we didn't do it last week because I was traveling. But
a fullback pull. That's digging.
Are you guys ready? So far, our random Viking of the week, we've had Tavares Jackson, Kelly Campbell, Leroy Horde, Jerome Felton, Hussein Abdullah, T.J. Clemmings, Bernard Berrien, Aaron Henderson, Rich Gannon, and Tony Richardson.
Right now, I am scripting my answers.
All right.
First 15.
This random Viking of the week went to college in the Big Ten. Big Ten guy. This random Viking of the week, I think it's fair to say, if you walked into a public place in Minnesota, almost everybody would know who he is, would recognize him. So, you know, like if Kelly Campbell walked into a bar, I don't know how many people would like know who he is. Bernard Berrien, some people might know.
Does this random...
You can ask me questions.
I'm gonna ask you three incorrect guesses too.
I got a hankering. Did you say
he went to college in the Big Ten?
I'll take a stab just right now.
Love it.
Brock Lesnar.
Oh my god! What?
Oh!
What?
He did it again! He did it again! Just like Tavares!
Are you serious?
Oh, two great decks!
How?
The recognizable thing.
The recognizable thing. Any Minnesotan would recognize him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, what? You've done the same thing now. You did it with Tavares Jackson after one clue. That's ridiculous. I'll give you the rest of the clues just so you can see where this is going.
No, I don't want to hear
him.
You don't want him?
No, I want to hear him.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Go ahead.
No.
That's awesome.
Well, I was going to tell you that he has four children, Maya, Luke, Duke, and Turk. Did you guys know that? That
no,
Brock Lesnar's kids are Luke, Duke, and Turk.
That sounds like a Lesnar.
Just meat and potatoes.
Turk, you said, right?
Turk.
Okay.
Luke, Duke, and Turk.
All,
hey,
all everybody. Future wrestlers, it sounds like.
Dude, that is, wow. I don't even know what to
Dude,
say.
Was Tavares one clue or two decks?
One.
One clue.
Wow. So you've got three. So you've gotten two of your wins through three clues.
So Declan's efficiency rate is very
never,
good here.
Boom
so
or bust.
I never thought about the answer being a Viking who didn't play a game but just went to camp. But that's a great pull.
Dex, I think you should pat yourself on the back and make sure that one gets up on the score
was,
socials
yes.
across
oh,
across the board today.
It's already there.
It's
that's
already
one
there.
Of the one of the great
Except,
performances.
You don't have to tell Declan. He put his win from T Rich on there.
That's right.
He ain't gonna miss this one.
So I what's funny is my first clue was gonna be that he's 6'2", listed at 6'2", 286 pounds, but I'm like, that's I don't know, that narrows it down.
That's
so I told you he went to college in the Big Ten. And that he's recognizable.
So, yeah,
that's
two
pretty
guesses.
Amazing.
Two guesses, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, but
I didn't even say he went to school at Minnesota. I said the Big Ten. There's 14 schools.
The Minnesota factor was like, oh, I think this, that's what, that, I, yeah.
You know what Dex did? What Dex did? Cousins to Osborne, 64 yards, second play against the Cardinals. That's what that was.
Shocker.
Like, you just threw it deep. And it got caught. That's great.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, you wrestling geeks.
All right, that's a wrap here on this edition of Purple Daily.
Skier
Daily
tomorrow, boys.
Vikings.
See you tomorrow.
Livia.com.
Suplex City.
Losing weight.
Quit rubbing it in our faces. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Four Question Friday.